Long. Secondly, the spices are just right.
Brandon Butler, Executive Director of the Conservation Federation. Here we go.
That's good. That is really good. Oh, man, that's amazing. So I get to keep the bag, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Typical outdoor communicator. I get to keep the bag.
Wagyu beef jerky, original, teriyaki, and mild pepper. Available at Anderson Services in Mountain View, Missouri. Hirsch Feed and Farm in Thayer and West Plains, Missouri. And in the St. Louis area at Smoky Moe's Barbecue in Arnold, Missouri. Or go to Dove Creek Wagyu. Wagyu's W-A-G-Y-U. Best damn beef jerky.
It's Denise from the Appliance Discounters, and my brother Tony and I want to make it easy for you to shop local. At Appliance Discounters, you'll see a huge selection of appliances on display in kitchen suites. You'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable sales associate. Your appliance selection and service will always be at the very lowest price, and if you have any questions or need service after the sale, you can even speak directly to the owners. So be proud of your purchase and shop local with the Appliance Discounters at any of the 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled. Where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. During the holidays, think of Spiro's for catering and your corporate and private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
Which side of the street should you go on?
Sunny, the sunny side of the street.
Oh, sunny.
Can't you hear a pitter-pat?
I don't hear it.
And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet.
Mike Stone, is my mic a little low?
On sunny.
Nope, I don't think sunny so.
Seems like street. It might be.
Is my mic a little low?
You need to fix that.
What? I can't hear you.
With those
That's a good one. That's a good one, Dan.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
Shut your suck hole.
That's fitting for today.
Nice talk.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
Dr. Bill, who's not really a doctor.
Gold dust at my feet. On sunny side of the street.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the November 6th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. I personally feel it is the most listenable radio show on the radio. I don't listen to other radio shows, so how would I know that? It's just instinct. Thanks. The whistling can stop now. Thank you. Brother.
Sorry.
No. A lot to talk about today. Let me start out by saying, after today, at least for a few months, and that's all it'll be, no more political ads.
Woo-hoo!
This person's horrible. That person's horrible. This person's a liar. That person's voted on the... Oh, my goodness, is it... It got old, that's it. It's over. Now, of course, we have to deal with tomorrow, the aftermath. I heard some news station on TV this morning say that, and I thought it was parts of California, maybe all of California, they won't really have all the votes counted for a month. How can that be? How's that possible?
They could, I don't be know.
They have so many people living there or something like that? I don't know.
No, with the technology that we have, that's
crazy.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. What, do they pull them, opening out like one at a time, reading them, and okay?
But look at the lottery. When Mega Millions or Powerball or anything is up astronomical, and then they say, there's a winner. Immediately. It's like right away they know there's a winner and where it is and where the ticket was bought.
I think that's because it's all done by computer.
Yeah.
Where voting is not all done by computer. When you mail in an absentee ballot, somebody's got to open it, and, you know, I kind of get it, but I don't know why it would take a month.
My favorite story was what happened in Texas, where Ted Cruz is a Republican, and some woman down there marked Democrat. You know, she wanted to vote Democrat on everything on her ballot. It was an electronic thing, right? So it's supposed to automatically... And then when she sees the printout of her ballot, her vote went to Ted Cruz.
Oh.
And it's she had to change it.
How could that happen?
There was a glitch. They say a glitch in the software. Glitch in the software.
Glitch in the Russian software.
I ended up voting today and I did the paper ballot because the line for the electronic machine was really, really long. So I did the paper ballot.
You know, I didn't vote today because I decided that an hour of my time was not worth my vote. Because I went by my polling place in Eureka where I live, and it was you couldn't even park in the parking lot. I drove by it three different times this morning, and I walked up to it twice and said, "By how long do you expect to wait?" And they said, "Hey, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour." And I just didn't have the time. I just didn't have the time.
Can I? You want some advice?
Sure.
I wouldn't share that story, and I'll tell you why. I was going to mention this in a minute anyway. Whether or not you vote and how you voted is nobody's business.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And we live now in a time where it's so divided, people get so mad, and they decide who their friends are based on their politics. I'm trying to find a not so rude way to say I will tell you I voted, but if somebody comes up and says, "Hey, did you vote?" The first thing I want to say is, well, that's none of your business. But that makes you sound like a jerk. So the problem is if you say no, well, then don't complain. Things don't go your way. Mm-hmm. If you say yes, you know what the next question is? So how'd you vote?
Uh-huh.
It's none of their business.
I don't tell anyone.
I wasn't going to say how I would have voted. I just said that for the first time in my life, I realized that I just couldn't donate that hour of my time because of all the other commitments I had today. But how would you rank these, Frank? How much do you weigh? How much money do you make? Who'd you vote for? Are they all?
The root is how much money do you make? I mean, that's the rudest
of the three. To ask,
except
that?
To me, it's the most interesting of the three. It's the one I would want to know more than the others. I've always been interested in how much money people make. When I found out that the Highway Patrol paid the least of all the law enforcement agencies, it stunned me because I always thought, oh, Highway Patrol, now you're talking. That's the top, that's the cream of the crop. Now they get paid the least. So, yeah, I like to know what people make, and I like to find out when people are underpaid, like school teachers and police officers. And then I like to hear, even though it's depressing, about CEOs and their golden parachutes, and Megyn Kelly gets a big fat check, and Don Imus. That depresses me, but I'm still interested in it.
Here's a question.
How people vote, I'd almost rather not know how people vote, because it causes you to then decide whether or not you even want to go to dinner with them or hang out with them because you're afraid you might get into an argument. Better off just keep it to yourself.
I don't ask anyone, and I don't care.
I have never asked anybody, did you vote or how did you vote?
No.
Ever.
No.
See, if you met a really rich, fat guy, he could maybe have the same answer for all three questions. How much you make? 420. How much you weigh? 420. How'd you vote today? 420.
Yeah, I voted for 420. Legalized.
What time is it? 420.
That was a marijuana joke, Frank. I don't know if you got that.
I did get it, but I think there would be people that don't know that 420 is code for, you know, pot. And do we even know how that started? We talked about this, and I forgot what the answer was. How did the 420 thing happen?
I can't remember.
I don't either.
I'll look it up.
But on April 20th, it was, woo-hoo, hey, dude, it's a big April 20th, big celebratory thing for pot smokers.
There is someone on a guest on the phone, but also another question not to ask is, hey, when are you due?
Yeah, never ask a big lady that.
Or a big man. That's right.
What do you do?
Look at the time. Look at the age we live in. Would it shock anybody if some guy ended up carrying a child, you know, through in vitro or whatever? Oh. Wouldn't me. Some transgender. I want to have a baby. That'll happen.
Say it's my baby elephant. You want to see its trunk?
I want everybody to know that I've heard Dan do that joke at least 50 times. over the years. It gives me great pleasure to bring on our, not only our first guest, I guess our only guest today, and I'm doing it because on June 26th, let's all get excited together, Ozzy Osbourne, a very close, personal, good friend of mine and Dan's, will be at the Hollywood Amphitheater. Again, that's June 26th, and I have Ozzy's cell number, and I can call him anytime, and he's always there for me, and more than happy to jump in here and be part of the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon on 590 The Fan. Ozzy Osbourne, how are you?
I'm blue. How are you?
I'm great, Oz. 26th of June, St. Yeah. Louis,
coming
Hollywood. Yeah, coming our way. How you feeling?
I couldn't feel better unless I did.
I'm sorry?
What?
I said I couldn't feel any better unless I did.
Oh, couldn't feel better unless you did. Yeah, feel better. That's a good one. Yeah. So, how's everything? Are you on good terms with Sharon, I guess? I'll tell you, she's hot. She's still pretty hot.
She looks good to me. We get along. Sometimes.
They get along.
Others, you know? Sometimes.
And when you come to St. Louis, this is your farewell tour. Are you going to have five farewell tours like Cher has, or is this it for you?
This is it. This is just the one. You know, we start in 1968. Birmingham, England.
Oh, you're that Limey?
I did in Birmingham. Man, good on him. Good on him.
That's true.
And now, St. Louis, pretty conservative, Midwest. You're not going to eat any bats' heads or anything, are you?
No, not this time. I'll tell you later what I'm going to eat.
What?
He'll tell us later what he's going to eat.
Oh, okay.
I read an article that in your private life, you like cereal, and that most every morning you eat cereal with some kind of animal heads in it, like chicken heads, birds, bats' heads. Is that true?
Preposterous.
It's preposterous.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
See, fake news gets out of control.
It's exactly right. I put berries in them, blueberries and blackberries and stuff in my Cheerios, actually.
Yeah. Now, you sound very coherent. Are you off the drugs now?
Drugs? Yes, I'm alive. I don't do many drugs anymore. Occasionally.
Don't do many.
He said occasionally. Yeah.
Okay. So, Ozzy, how do you feel about the whole marijuana thing? I mean, it looks like just over the course of the last couple of years, boom, we go from you're going to jail for 30 years because you had a couple of joints to, hey, everybody, knock yourselves out. How do you feel about it? I would imagine you're in favor of that.
I feel like I've been a big part of it, you know.
You've been a big part, you and Willie Nelson. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I feel good about it. It's a good diversion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure a lot of people hear you and go, see, look. Look at that guy. He's fine.
And I think I'll start smoking.
Yeah.
I'm in good shape. And I've been doing very well, very healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope you have a chance. I know you always like to come by the house when you're in town. I hope you'll be able to drop by, you know, have dinner.
I'll be by if you'll be around. Yes, I'll come by. And you don't need to fix me any bat heads or anything like that. Do something very simple. Filet mignon.
Well, don't worry. We won't fix anything because my wife, as you know.
Yeah.
As you know, we don't. She doesn't cook, so
we'll go out and get food somewhere.
Yeah. Will you pick up the tab because you're very rich?
Well, sure. I'd be glad to pick up the tab. If you won't, I will.
Yeah, well, that makes sense to me. Well, Ozzy, always good to check in with you, and see you on the 26th of June next year. Okay.
You bet. I'll be over for dinner.
All right, Ozzy Osbourne. Everybody, thank you, Ozzy. Always willing, very relaxed, stress-free sounding. So sounds good. Sounds a lot better than when they did that reality show. Did you ever watch that thing with dogs pooped all over their house?
Yes.
$120 million house or whatever. Dog doo doo everywhere.
He turns 70 years old next month.
Wow.
Well, he old sure guy. Doesn't look it.
No, he looks great.
He looks 80.
Yeah.
85. yeah, I really don't know much about his music. Black Sabbath. I can't name a Black Sabbath song.
War Pigs. But,
Paranoid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't name any of those, but thank you. For
Iron Man.
I think I have a good idea, Limestone. I'm going to throw this at you because you are the youngest guy on the show. How old are you?
I'm 34.
Today?
Here's what I like. What? I'll tell you what I'd like. Dan, if you don't mind, I'm... I was asked, do you have your harmonica? Because there's only been one day that I remember where you forgot your harmonica.
Yes.
Would you play Happy Birthday for Limey? And then Tim and I will sing, if you, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
Sure. Give us a note. Tim and I need a note. Can you give us a note?
Ready?
Okay, that's good. Limestone, ready? Sit back and enjoy. Here
well
we go.
Well,
one, two, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. We weren't exactly together, but, you know.
I love it.
Okay.
So, you're 34 today?
Yeah, 34 today.
Here's the idea I had. One of the things that, you know, I'm a lot older than you are, obviously, and one of the dividers, the barriers between people is their taste in music, and I just thought maybe every day you pick a song, we don't have to play the whole song, you pick a song you really like. It could be a song from the 90s, it could be a recent hit, pop hit or whatever, it will play a little bit of it, and then I will, on my phone I have 860 songs, and I'll just pick a song that I like to go to and listen to every once in a while, just to give you an idea of what I listen to. And then over time, we do a song each. We could go around and get Dan, give a song at Tim, but you're the youngest, I'm the oldest, and just to see the differences in the sound of the music we like. If I said today, right now, you'd go to YouTube, what song would you pick? Just a song that you like, you've always liked it. Or maybe it's new.
I would pick Black Sabbath Paranoid, actually.
I'd like to hear a little of that.
Do you know why this is a sad day for Limey, though, Frank? Why a person's 34th birthday is actually a sad birthday?
Right.
Because Playboy magazine says that you're allowed to date anybody who's half your age and then add 3 years. So today's the first day that Limey's not allowed to date a teenager.
That is sad.
It's sad. Oh, no more high school football games.
No more proms, right?
That's out the window.
You want to hear this Black Sabbath?
I do. Now, this is an example of the kind of music that Limey likes. It's called Paranoia or Paranoid?
Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
Paranoid, Black Sabbath, featuring the great, we just talked to him, Ozzy Osbourne. Let's have a little of it. Okay, that's tolerable to me.
Okay.
But it's still noise to me. To me, that's just, it's okay. It's not as horrible as, I just saw where, I think Megadeth or Metallica, somebody's coming to town, one of the big heavy metal.
I think it's Megadeth.
I don't know, it doesn't do it for me. It's not as repulsive to me as a lot of rap music and a lot of heavier metal, so I could tolerate it if I listen to it enough, I guess.
That's the kind of song I like to listen to when I am driving and I need to get somewhere fast.
That's exactly
song.
What I'm going to give you right now for you to pull up for me.
Right.
Is a song that I go to and bring it up and blow it through the car as loud as I can when I want to pick up the pace a little bit. It's like an adrenaline shot for me, and it's a long, cool woman in a black dress. If you'd pull that up by the Hollies, and then I'll tell you after we play a little of it the reason that I wanted to start this today and do it, and the reason I picked that song.
Do you want me to
song.
Wait for your intro, or should I just
No,
play
the
it?
Intro is this. I think almost every, even you at 34, you know this song, correct?
It sounds...
Crank it up.
I know this song.
How can you not know this? This is when you start driving right now. You just start picking up about 5 miles per hour. Now you're 10 miles per hour more than you were. You are picking it up now. Come on.
I know this.
Sitting in an elf on Batman. But that's an example of a song that over the years I've never gotten tired of hearing that song. And so maybe every day we'll just pick a song. Now, mine's going to be all over the place. I'm going to have some country, and I got a feeling yours is primarily rock.
Yeah, it's primarily rock. Not so much from the 90s, but a lot of the stuff from the 80s and kind of today's music, sure.
I have one.
I'm a
A song that I would go to.
I thought we said it's going to be me and Limey. I didn't say me, Limey, and Dan. Tim, did you hear that? I think I just said me.
I didn't hear that. I think he should be sanctioned.
Sanctioned?
What's the song? And then
it's a song that you'll probably want to add to your repertoire.
All right.
It's from Lynyrd Skynyrd, and it's I Know a Little. I think you would really like this song.
All right, here we go. I know this song.
One of my favorites. Do you?
Yeah. Hang it up there, Lynyrd. But to me, that's a song I would like to hear done in a bar setting, like live, by them, by somebody who knew how to do it. It's not so much something I'd pull up and listen to in the car. No, I can go with that. That's okay. But I think what music you like, a lot of it has to do with whatever you listen to in high school. Limey, you went to high school over in Britain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever music was hot then. That's always going to be music that you'll like because you got memories associated with it. And then outside of that, it tends to be whatever you listen to in the car with your parents. You know, if your mom or your dad particularly likes something, then you got a soft spot for that. Oh, it was my mom's favorite song or my dad's favorite song. I don't know how much music it is that people like that they acquired a taste for. I'm sure it happens, but I've never been able to make that happen. I've tried. I've put on Megadeth and Metallica and stuff, and I said, okay, I'm just going to listen to a little of one song. Let me try like 8 different songs. I hated every one of them.
It helps, like, if you want to listen to Metallica or Megadeth, like, it kind of helps if you're like in a really angry mood. Like, at least
well,
for
no
me
kidding.
Anyway, you know, like, you've got to be kind of angry, like you can't be in a happy go lucky, like, oh, I think I'm gonna go home and make my wife some banana bread. Like, I mean, you can't listen to that.
No doubt. And shameless self promotion. I've got several bad mood, good mood songs on my phone to where anytime I'm in an aggravated mood, I'll play this song and it'll immediately it's like magic how it puts you in a good mood. Black Water by the Doobie Brothers is one of mine.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I have two categories. One is not angry music, I either want it to make me very sad or make me feel really good, like Long Cool Woman. Let's go, pick it up. Let's go. I mean, I feel good. Let's put the top down or open the windows and drive fast. But I don't have that. I need to let off some steam. Angry music category.
The
country music can do both for me. It can pick me up or make me cry. And
country music always makes me feel patriotic. You know.
Well, that's because there's far more patriotic music in country genre than there is any other. Find me another one where they spend a similar amount of time and input on patriotism than country. There's not one. They don't. Not pop music, certainly not rap or hip-hop. Holy crap, that's not patriotic. And, we do that on Veterans Day and a couple other... But just to change your mood, especially in the morning. Like, if I'm getting up, because I hate morning. I don't care if morning is 10 o'clock in the morning or 6. I can't stand it. I don't like to get up and get moving. So when I go and start shaving and brush my teeth or whatever, get ready to shower, I'll put on something like that Long Cool Woman by Hollies, and all of a sudden, it's like the blood starts pumping. Same thing people do when they work out, aerobics and stuff. Music helps the workout go better.
And so does, and people will be talking about this on this show, probably in the year 2020, when and if it passed today. But if this medical marijuana measure gets passed in Missouri today, you're going to have people call and talk about different strains that put them in a good mood. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, really unbelievable. And Frank, you talked earlier in the hour about the origin of 420. We were joking about that. Do you know right. this? I can tell the story in less than 60 seconds. Do you know this story?
No. If I did, I forgot it.
In 1971, five high school students called themselves the Waldos because a hangout spot outside their school was against a wall, so they called themselves the Waldos. And a grower who grew marijuana in California gave them a treasure map of an abandoned cannabis crop that they were going to go try and find Whoa. This crop. And every day, their meeting time to go try and look for this, to sneak out of school, or after school, they would meet at the statue at 420, and they go look for this abandoned cannabis crop. And the guy that published High Times magazine got a hold of this story and ran a huge expose on these guys, because I think they found the crop. And that's where the term 420 originated from, was these guys in 1971 looking for an abandoned marijuana
wow.
crop.
Wow.
You know, I think
and this is why you are the head wow. of research.
I think there's a movie that's based on that. It's set in Kansas, and I think it's called Raising Kansas or something like that. But Rip Torn is in it, and it's about these high school kids that they are given this map to go off and find, like, you know, this, well, hidden treasure trove of marijuana, and they find it, and it's a really good movie.
Well, I watched a documentary last night, and I would... Like, I'm not promoting cannabis. I'm not saying it's horrible, good, bad, in between. But what I like is when I sit down, I go, well, I got a couple hours. Let's see what's on TV. And there's not anything in particular. And we've all done this. You just start jumping around and you land on something, and you know in 15 minutes you're there for the whole 2 hours and you're glad you found it. It's called Grass. It's on Amazon. Grass, like pot. It's just grass. It's narrated, and who better? Maybe the only better narrator with credibility would be Willie Nelson. Woody Harrelson narrates it, a huge pot smoker. What's interesting is nowhere in there does he push it or promote it. It is the history of marijuana in this country, and it came into the United States. Go ahead, anybody. What decade do you think it was introduced?
What, like actual, like hemp or like actual cannabis to smoke?
Cannabis to smoke.
Oh,
decade?
I'd say the 20s.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, that's it. We're done. 20s, 1920s. Really? Very good. Yeah, no, very good. I would have thought cool. it'd been a lot sooner than that. And it came in from Mexico. This documentary, I could not stop, and I was sorry when it was over, because it takes you from the 20s and shows you actual advertising, propaganda, footage from Congress. It shows you film from meetings in the White House, from demonstrations. Marijuana went from initially being touted as something so horrible that they taught kids in school, and the government paid to put out these propaganda films. And I'm not using other words. These were the words: smoking marijuana will cause you to go insane.
Oh, man.
And they showed footage of people in mental institutions. Now, a lot of it was fake. Those people that were in those scenes weren't marijuana users. They were in there for far worse things. But the point was, they wanted to keep the world from smoking marijuana. Well, how'd that go? It didn't work. They also talk about the first guy in this country, and I forgot his name, and I believe, I want to say it was the late 40s, early 50s, he was sentenced to 50 years in prison because he was in possession of two joints.
Whoa. Wow.
I'm sorry, 10 years in prison. Another guy was sentenced to 50 years because he had an amount significantly larger than two joints. But the point is, how unjust and how unfair. And they take it from the 20s, and they show you all the efforts that were made to stop it and all the lies people were told about it. And it starts to turn. And in the documentary, you start to see the shift in the late 50s and certainly 60s, 68, the hippie movement. And all of a sudden, people were wondering, well, with all these millions of people smoking marijuana, where are all the insane people? Where is all this horrible stuff that's supposed to be happening to people? And they finally had to admit, the government, and what surprised me was they showed footage of one particular president of the United States who went on TV and said, I think it is time to decriminalize private use of marijuana. Now, who do you think that was?
Oh.
Decriminalize private use?
Yeah. Eisenhower?
No, it was Jim Acosta. And I was shocked by that because that guy from Georgia, Jim Acosta, I would think would be the one of a Christian background. The marijuana is of the devil, and we've got to get rid of it completely. I believe it should be criminalized. No, just the opposite. To decriminalize it. Mm. And he wasn't very successful. But then after that, after all these studies and all this, look where we are. Look where we've gone from. And watching the black and white educational films was hysterical. I mean, it was hilarious. And then the movies, Reefer Madness, they actually produced movies in Hollywood, and the theme of it was people gone berserk because they smoke pot. It's fantastic. It's just simply called Grass, and it's on Amazon. Now, the reason I brought up the music thing is, I get to bed like 1 o'clock because I also found, and I do know why, because what I do is I go search the documentary category, and I just flip through documentary, and I see one on the Hollies. Now, I don't know much about the Hollies. Limey needs to know that in the 60s, and that's one of my music genres, is oldies from the 60s, the Hollies had some hits. I thought, well, I'm not really interested in like I am the Stones or something. Let's see what this is about. I watched the whole thing because it was tremendous. And musicians are fascinating people to me because all they really want to do is make music. Sometimes you get lucky and making that music makes you very rich and famous. Most of the time, it doesn't. You just play because you want to play. Dan probably knows what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, not so much for Limestone, but maybe for Tim and certainly for Dan. When I say the Hollies, give me a song or two that you think of.
I think of Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. That's the first song I think of.
I think that's the only song I know of by the Hollies.
And that is exactly my point. And I thought, well, I know two songs. Listen to this. Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. Bus Stop, with there, she's there, I say, we share me. You know that song? How about this beautiful song that they initially almost passed on because it just wasn't a Hollies type song, and it became one of the two biggest hits they ever had? The Air That I Breathe.
Oh, all sometimes, I need is the
air that I breathe and to love you. It's a beautiful song. And that song, you learn so much from these documentaries. That song was released, recorded and released after Graham Nash had left the Hollies. And when he left the Hollies, they thought, well, that's it. We're screwed. After he left, they did Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress and The Air That I Breathe. All right? How about this? Another beautiful song they almost passed on because it wasn't Hollies sounding. And I think everybody knows it. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. The road is long. You know that song? Great song. That's the Hollies.
I always think of Simon and Garfunkel or something like that, or a group like that that did that song.
Exactly. And there were people that said, that's not a Hollies sounding song. How about this? Stop all the music. Stop. That's there. It's called Stop. How about this? Look through any window, what do you see? You know that song? How about On a Carousel? That's the Hollies. How about Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your name now? Does anybody play? That's the Hollies. The Hollies had a bunch of hits, but another interesting fact. They did not have one number one hit ever in the United States. They had a hit over in, let me get this right, in the UK, Limey, that was number one. It's a song called I'm Alive. So they introduced it to the United States. They couldn't even get in the top 100, which I find interesting because most of what came out of Great Britain, we just sucked it right up. We loved it. And then that was the period of the Hollies and the Byrds and the Kinks and the Dave Clark Five and all these look-alike, sort of sound-alike groups. But for a song to be number one over there and not even be able to make it in the top 100 is really interesting to me because usually whatever hit there, ended up doing okay here. And it's an interesting documentary because they talk about getting the record at Abbey Road Studios, and then when they walked up to the building, it was like a cathedral or some sort of sacred place. Oh my goodness, we're recording in Abbey Road. This is unbelievable. In the same studio where the Beatles did some of their stuff. It's a great documentary. So we got Grass and we've got The Hollies, simply called The Hollies. And I think you'll enjoy them. So there you go. We just share and share alike. What?
That would be like Sun Studios here in Memphis, to go exactly. to Sun Studios and record something there.
Yeah, especially like, if you went there and recorded in the early 60s or late 50s, right after Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis had been there. And that's sort of what happened here. The Beatles, I mean, basically had just left the building. The Beatles, they just walked out of Abbey Road, and then, boom, here come the Hollies in there. And it was a big deal. A big deal. And they were, I think the other interesting thing was he said the lead singer, his name is Clark. I can't think of his first name. He talked about one of the reasons for their success was he said, you know, parents liked us because our music was safe, unlike some of the suggestive movements and even lyrics of like the Doors or the Rolling. They were dangerous. Ooh, all my kids listening to those Doors. He said, we made it because parents were okay with us. They'd hear them or see them and go, okay, I don't mind if my kids listen to that. And I think there's probably something to that because in the 60s there was a lot of stuff out there that a lot of parents, like my parents, didn't want you having anything to do with because it was, you know, of the devil. It's too bad Limey can't remember things like record burning events where DJs would announce a place and a time, and all the listeners to the radio show would show up and throw their Elvis records in a huge pile, and they'd light them on fire.
I think the only equivalent to that I would remember is people kind of protesting Marilyn Manson when he came to England, or people protesting Eminem, the rapper. That'd be about it. But, you know, there was
That to him in England?
They protested him, but there was no real, like, burning of his materials or anything like that.
Why did they protest his lyrics or the fact that he was...
Yeah, his lyrics, the fact that, you know, I mean...
Everything about him.
Yeah, violent, you know, the way he spoke about women, the way he spoke about gays, all that stuff.
I remember the day there was a caller, because we were talking about this, and I was talking about how much I can't stand rap music and how much I think a lot of this rap music... the message is just, it's bad. It's hate the cops, hate my bitch in the hole, and N-word, and it's dark, and it's angry. And I said, you know, this music is just not doing anybody any good. And this caller called, I don't know if Dan remembers it or not, he goes, Frank, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you why. Because they said the exact same thing when Elvis came along and the Beatles came along. There's no difference in the rap music and that music. And I said, hold it right there. There's a huge difference. Name me any Elvis or Beatles songs where they talk about slap my bitch and F the police. Name me that song. It doesn't exist. Because it was all, I want to hold your hand, you know, and just innocent, you know, bubblegum, tap your foot type music. No, there's no comparison. You can't, I do know that parents were upset. My dad would sit in front of the TV and get mad when the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan and he saw their hair. He said, why don't they just all go out and shop for dresses? If you're going to look like a girl, go ahead and get a dress. Oh, man, he did not like
that. And really, their hair wasn't that long.
Oh, go back and look at the footage. It's not long at all.
No.
Look at Johnny Lomax here at the station, and then look at the Beatles. Lomax should be in prison if hair is to determine what's to happen to your future. But you're right. It wasn't that long. It's just the idea of bangs, and it was kind of considered a girly haircut. He never really objected to Elvis, interestingly, and I'm kind of surprised at that because I don't know.
Well, they only shot him from the waist up. Didn't they?
But you know what helped Elvis turn the corner from being considered a bad influence to acceptable to parents? Do you remember what it was? It was one thing.
The movies?
And it was Ed Sullivan when he walked out on his show after Elvis performed, and he had Elvis come over and stand by him. And he said, this is a really decent young man, an honorable young man. And that changed everything. Because Ed Sullivan, the stodgiest, remember Ed Sullivan is the guy who asked the Rolling Stones to change the lyrics to "Let's Spend the Night to Let's Spend the Night Together." Yeah. He didn't want. He said, "You're not going to sing that on my show. We can say Let's Spend Our Life Together." And they went on and said, "Okay, we promise." And then they went on and sang it anyway, just in defiance. And I think that's when he said, "Why, those boys will never be on my show again." That was an actual clip of that solo. I'm going to take a quick break here, and the line will do a little business. I'll do a little bit what?
Would you like to speak to George real quick before we do that?
Sure.
He's been on hold.
Absolutely. I'll speak to anybody who wants to speak to us. George, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
How are you? I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you.
You were talking about songs, and a country song came across my mind. You remember the song by, I think it's... John Anderson, I've been singing it since I've been on hold, and I can't even remember it now. Time Marches On.
I know the song, but I don't know it well. Yes, I do know the song.
Well, when you get a chance in here, you know, in a break or whatever, just play a little bit of it. I think you'll like it.
I've heard it, but it's been a while. Thank you. Yeah, it sounds familiar. I need to re-listen, so I will.
All right, man. Well, take care.
All right, George. You too. Thank you. Bye, man. See, I slipped in a band and didn't even mean to. I just said, "You too." You see,
band, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
lead singer is a bit terrible, but.
All right, let's stop right there. When you say great man, I'm almost ashamed to say this. I can't name one U2 song. I just
Sunday,
it's not my
bloody
music.
Bloody Sunday.
Beautiful Day.
I don't know that song. I don't know those
you
songs.
You don't know Sunday, Bloody Sunday?
No.
Yes. Oh, all right.
Yeah. No, I don't. But if I ask you, name me two Crystal Gayle songs, could you do that? No.
I have no. No,
you don't know who that is, do
no,
you?
Brown Eyed Girl.
Brown Eyed Girl what? Blue. Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue.
Yeah, whatever he said.
Yeah.
Crystal Gayle, her hair was down to, I guess it still is.
It's on the floor.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so long.
But it's like foreign language talking about her to him and to
Isn't
a lot of
people. Isn't she Loretta Lynn's niece?
Sister.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't look anything alike.
No.
She's cute.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Crystal Gayle was very cute. Mm-hmm. And she had her own TV show, primetime TV show. And it's interesting to me what happens to people and how one minute they're hot and the next minute who? It's like who?
Oh, yeah.
The industry just decides, okay, move over. Next, you're irrelevant now. And they're very talented people. Johnny Londoff has a terrific offer for anybody listening who's interested in a new pickup truck, Silverado pickup truck. And the offer is simply this, 0% financing for 72 months or $9,500 back off, whatever you want to call it, on select Silverado pickup trucks. You need to go to the website to get all the details. But we live in an SUV pickup truck world, so much so that a couple of car makers, I think next year, because that would be the 2020 models, because the 19s are out. They're not making cars anymore. It's all going to be crossovers, SUVs, pickup trucks, because that's what America drives. And I guess I understand that evolution, especially with people who have more than two people in a family to travel, like kids or other relatives or older parents or in-laws. Wow, it's hard to beat a nice SUV, a Suburban or a Tahoe. We used to have a thing in this country for conversion vans. In fact, back in the 80s and 90s, it's like every other vehicle was a big conversion van with a spare tire on the back and a ladder up the back. Everybody has to remember these. Carriage was a big one. Explorer was a big one. And those were just conversion packages that you put on a basic van, and it turned it into something better than any limo. Had a VHS recorder player in there, and you had your stack of your videotapes and a couple of screens and all the room in the world. You're good to go. And it was not anywhere near as pleasant a vehicle to drive as any of the SUVs or crossovers or trucks now. It's kind of sloppy and all over the road. But wow, the room and the amenity. We had one that had both a cassette player and VHS player. I know. Ooh,
whoa.
Ah. I know. Ooh, ah. Yeah. I had a Suburban that was the only one of its kind in the United States. And it had been built specially for the auto show circuit to go to Florida, to go to LA. And when it hit St. Louis, I had to have it because I have this disease. It had been taken apart and the doors and the hood and the entire body dipped in pearlescent white paint before you could get pearl white as an option. I'd never seen pearl white. They repainted this car by dipping the components. Now, this would have been about 1990, and that car was $50,000. And that's how many years ago? I know. Ooh, ah. I know. Give him some no-dos. That was a lot of money, but I had to have it. Oh, man, I just, it's a disease and a sickness. So here's the deal. Whether it's your second pickup truck or your first one, or you've decided, you know what, I'd like a pickup truck, too. Everybody around me has pickup truck. Well, I have the place. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Get in there and get yourself a brand new Silverado. They'll make you a great deal and they'll treat you nice. It's as simple as that. You know where they are. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, where they've been since 1960. And of course, 24/7 at Londoff.com.
All right, let's get a check on traffic now with Tori Lyons.
Traffic sponsored by Sinex Construction, jamming north and southbound 255 into Route 3 Columbia. Possibly reopen some northbound lanes. They're not sure about southbound. Delays Grand to Shrewsbury, westbound 44. Southbound 270, you're heavy either side of 64 and slowing northbound 170 through Airport Road. If you've got the dreaded stuffy nose this cold and flu season, try Sinex Nasal Spray. A couple of quick sprays of Sinex and it starts to work in seconds. Be ready when congestion strikes. Sinex Nasal Spray uses directed. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Get Memphis and get tickets, Grizz fans. Don't miss Mike Conley and your Memphis Grizzlies in a Western Conference showdown as they battle the Denver Nuggets Wednesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. For great seats, call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com today.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. I'm celebrating 10 years of being a PI with a new book, Bad Mood, Good Mood. It's 50 hilarious and true stories of the life of a PI. It's a great $15 stocking stuffer, or send someone an e-version or an audiobook version for just $13. Check it out online, badmoodgoodmood.com.
It's Wrestling Night, Memphis. Join your Grizzlies as they host the Philadelphia 76ers Saturday, November 10th at 7 p.m. Get two terrace tickets and two five-piece boneless wing coupons from Wing Guru for just $22. Plus, the first 5,000 fans get a Grizz wrestling tee. Call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com today.
Now we're talking.
Oh, there you go.
Little Crystal Gale. Don't it make my brown eyes blue? Thanks for joining us on Country 590.
Don't know when. I've been so blue.
Yeah, she's a cutie.
Don't know how.
Yes, she is.
Come over you. You found someone.
Carried a purse around in her hair around in a purse. She had a special big purse to put her hair in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd drag the floor and she'd trip on her own hair. So there you go, little Crystal Gale. I will, for the rest of my life, be thankful for every advertiser who has ever been on this show. Some of them didn't stay to see the great results they might have had. There were some cases where it just wasn't a good fit. For the most part, it's been a really good run, and I will always be thankful to the people who are part of it, but especially thankful to Thompson Price. He's a person, and he's also the guy whose name is on the business. And when you get an advertiser, and I might add the longest-running advertiser on this show, 23 years, when you get somebody to support what you do to that degree, then you get the bonus of finding out he's a really decent person. And he's a person who's actually become a friend. And becoming a friend with me is not an easy thing to do. Just because I'm not a social type. I'm not that, hey, buddy, what's going on? I'm not that guy. But we have become friends. And I will be proud for as long as he wants to advertise on this show to send you, when you're ready to have your kitchen or bathroom completely remodeled and done right, to Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Home. Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. And, of course, they have a website, thompsonprice.com. Stay where you are. Dan Buffa is in the green room. The hot tub was drained yesterday after Josh Bauman used it, so he's in the hot tub. He'll be out in just a few minutes after the news, and we'll talk about movies and TV shows. Don't go anywhere. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Phil Hewlett. The stakes are high in today's midterm elections. Voters will decide who controls the U.S. House and Senate for the next 2 years. With 38 states too close to call, projections are Democrats will regain control of the House by a 9-seat margin. In the battle for the Senate, 8 states are attacking.